this morning, we're going to have Reverend Whittemore read important notice by Reverend Jane Zepka.
The newsletter editor of the First Parish of Wayland, Massachusetts, recently ran her favorite New Yorker squib. Quote, important notice. If you are one of the hundreds of parachuting enthusiasts who bought our Easy Skydiving book, please make the following correction. On page 8, line 7, the words state zip code should have read pull ripcord. It's an advertisement that was in the Warrington Fauquier Democrat. She writes, I worry about things like this during the Christmas season. Had I been a parachuting enthusiast, and had I breezed through easy skydiving during the month of December, I'd still be flying through the air, picking up speed, shouting my zip code. Zip codes aren't important. Ripcords are. During the Advent season, it's all too easy to confuse one for the other. The zip codes of the season, the replacement bulbs, the four sticks of butter, the fruit by mail catalogs, the party shoes, have our attention, and before we know it, we're picking up speed and shouting out those zip codes without ever asking why. Perhaps we should look to our ripcords, our lifelines in December, as always, are our inner quiet, the love we exchange, and our efforts to make the world more whole. We can slow the descent. We can take in the view. And we can anticipate a gentle landing on the 25th.
And we have a special treat for you now. We have a chorus who's going to sing There's More Love Somewhere. Will you please come up, Lorraine, Dr. Mike, Mel, Diane and Terry.
I'm gonna keep
Sorry, I was used to be assistant manager at the Hilton in Longton. One of my jobs was to make sure people didn't trip over things and have accidents to sue us. So. Okay. Now I feel better. Reverend Barry Whittemore is a retired Unitarian Universalist minister, having served at the Georgia Mountains UU Church in Dahlonega. Reverend Whittemore has also served congregations in Birmingham, Alabama, Outlaws Bridge Universalist Church in North Carolina, and Holston Valley UUC in Tennessee. Dr. Whittemore has 27 years of teaching experience ranging from community college, seminaries to the Mountain School for Congressional Leadership. He holds a bachelor's degree from Virginia Tech, master's degrees from Radford University and from Carnegie Mellon. He earned his doctorate at Carnegie Mellon and his Master of Divinity from Duke University. Dr. Whittemore currently teaches Appalachian American and Religious History at University of North Georgia. His greatest pleasure comes from traditional Southern Mountain old-time music and dance. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Reverend and Dr. Barry Whittemore.
If you're like me, you might not know about Advent that much. I was raised Southern Baptist, and we just didn't do the liturgical calendar at all. And so I learned about it much more. And it is kind of sad that we don't know about this, because it can be really interesting. One of the things is, if you looked in the hymn book, the order of the song that we just sang would be a little different. I had them move the first verse to the last verse because the four Sundays of Advent are themed hope, peace, joy, and love. And that put it in the right order. And there's a tradition of lighting candles, which I will actually go and do. The first week, Advent, the candle of hope is lit. The second week, you light that. And if you're high church, you have a big white one in the middle that you light on Christmas, called the Christ candle. And actually, Advent is the start of the liturgical year. If this was 2 weeks ago, liturgically speaking, I could have said Happy New Year. Because there's a church calendar, and it starts with Advent. It's the 4 weeks of preparation that comes before Christmas. Just like there's a period of preparation before Easter called Lent. And if you go to a more liturgical church, during those periods of preparation, everything would be purple. While the candles are purple. And it is, of course, part of our actual tradition, where we came from as Unitarians and Universalists. And so it's a period of preparation and anticipation. If you think about what we're anticipating here, we're anticipating the hope of the world coming to us. We're anticipating the birth of the Prince of Peace, a man who lived and taught us radical nonviolence as a way of life. So that's something that should bring joy to the world and be the idea that this is some sort of fulfillment that's coming, because the fourth Sunday being love, we're taught in scriptures that God is love. Period. And of course now if you're a traditional Orthodox Christian, you believe that Jesus is God incarnate, but not of all of us do that, but it still is the embodiment or the personification of love. That's what he represented, which is something I think really worth celebrating. Then the culmination, of course, is the birth of Jesus on Christmas. We know it wasn't the 25th, but that's not important, is it? The date itself is just not a major idea. So it's a religious holiday, which is easy to forget. Actually, when things got changed around here in the mountains some time back, we used to celebrate it twice. And it actually has to do with the change of the calendar. always going to make, we went from Gregorian to Julian. That change was made in Europe a long time ago. So by the time we got around to changing the calendar in the United States, there was this big gap of time. So when we went from the Gregorian calendar to the Julian calendar, we just whacked 11 days out of the calendar. And they just disappeared. Well, people up here in the mountains go, oh, no. Jesus' birthday is Jesus' birthday, and ain't no calendar going to change his birthday. So they would celebrate what's called Old Christmas on by going by the Julian, going by the Gregorian calendar, which is like 11 or 12 days off. Now, a lot of people will tell you that Appalachian Old Time Christmas is actually Epiphany. No, they just happen to happen at the same time. It's because they're celebrating using the Gregorian calendar. And they celebrated them differently. New Christmas on the 25th was party time, gift giving, feasting, probably some drinking in there somewhere. And it was just kind of the big party, happy, happy Christmas. Old Christmas was a somber, serious religious holiday. And I kind of like it holiday. Actually, it's my favorite as a UU Christian. We know the Orthodox really prefer Easter. I mean, that's the big one. And you can't blame them, because Easter is supposed to be all about its death and resurrection. You know, death on Good Friday, resurrection on the on Easter, a symbol of eternal life. You know, if you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, and you live right, that's how what will happen. Of course, if you're a Paulinian, all you have to do is just, you know, say some things and believe some things. And that's easy enough. But for me, as basically a universalist at heart, I look at Christmas, and that's not death and resurrection. That's birth and life. So that makes me a lot more excited than death and resurrection. I see that as my major religious holiday of the year, is Christmas. Because we're celebrating the birth of someone who came to us, depending on your interpretation, as an example. This is how you should live your life. Here's the example. Follow the example. Everything will be okay. And it's the idea of potential, that we could all live that life if we so chose, and that that power is within us and among us. There's actually a case during Jesus' life in Luke 17. He's being hassled by some religious professionals, as they were wont to do. And people were saying, you keep talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Where is this kingdom of God? And Jesus kind of rolls his eyes. You can almost see it in the scripture. Like, he says, look, it's not something you're going to be able to say, there it is. Or, oh, it's over there. So, no, the kingdom of God is within you, or among you, depending on your translation. Because the Greek word can be translated as either within or among. Probably both. So what he's saying is, you've already got it in you. You want the kingdom of God? Make it happen. Or make it so that within us and among us, we have the ability to create heaven on earth. And we've been shown how to do it. Well, how can you go wrong with that? Sounds pretty good. But how's your joy meter going these days? It's a little tough. I look around and I see democracy being threatened directly. And I look at the economy and I say, you know, as a historian, I know we've tried supply-side economics 3 times in the last 100 years and had a major crash every time. And now we're doing it again. So how do I prepare for the recession that's probably coming? We see cruelty raise the level of national policy, putting children in cages. Yeah, I mean, if somebody's going to walk from Guatemala to Texas, I want them as my neighbor, because these are people who are really serious. And then there's the environment and the climate. Let's destroy that while we're at it. So how are we going to be real happy about this? Perspective has a lot to do with it. Speaking of the liturgical calendar, I talked about the start of it. Let me say a word about the end of it. It's kind of odd. So this would be 5 weeks before Christmas. It's called Christ the King Sunday, not language most of us would normally use. But if you look at the lectionary reading, the lectionary is this, people decided a while back that wouldn't it be nice if whatever church you went into, Christian church anywhere in the world, on any given Sunday, they'd all be doing the same lesson, all be doing the same reading. Some do it, some don't. So in the lectionary, the reading for that Sunday is the dialogue between Jesus and Pilate, you know, right before the crucifixion. And Pilate keeps questioning, they're like, are you a king or something? And Jesus going, oh, my king's not in this world. It's somewhere else. And Pilate just doesn't get it because Jesus is talking in language that Pilate, the Roman official, cannot understand. Because him, to him, kingdom is about power. I mean, when he came up to Jerusalem for Passover, he hated doing this. He had a perfectly nice capital down by the Mediterranean, modern Roman city. But then once a year, he had to go up to Jerusalem, this funky hill town with all these Jews in it. And they'd go up there, and they were always excited, and you never knew when there was going to be trouble. So he came at the head of an army with sword and shield brandishing their spears, marching in to Jerusalem. Jesus came from the other direction riding a donkey. There are different kinds of power. And that's the difference that we have to keep in mind. When Jesus talked about being a king, he was talking about being the king of love, not of swords and shields and spears. So joy is not a fool's errand, which it seems like at times, but for people of faith, it's not a fool's errand, because we believe that truth will out. We hold that as an article of faith. And our ultimate value is that love wins. Love will defeat everything else, no matter how bad it seems. So it's important to keep perspective. I'm going to read you part of a paragraph I've read to you before. I was really amused to see this same quote in Sojourners Magazine in Jim Wallace's column recently. And it's from Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. Frodo and Sam are in Mordor. I mean, you think it's bad now? It could be worse. We're not in Mordor. And things are looking really bad. And I'll just read the whole paragraph. Well, not the whole paragraph. Frodo goes to sleep, and Sam's setting up to try to be safe because he's worried about who might show up. Sam struggled with his own weariness, and he took Frodo's hand. And there he sat silent till deep night fell. Then at last, to keep himself awake, he crawled from the hiding place and looked out. The land seemed full of creaking and cracking and sly noises. But there was no sound of voice or foot. Far above the Ethel Dueth in the west, the night sky was still dark and pale. There, peeping among the cloud rack above a high tor up in the mountains, Sam saw a white star twinkle for a while. The beauty of it smote his heart. For like a shaft, clear and cold, the thought pierced him that in the end, the shadow was only a small and passing thing. There was light and high beauty forever beyond its reach. It's important to keep perspective, to believe in love. We think about these candles. Keep hope alive. Keep peace alive. Be filled with joy and believe in love. And if we do that, we can anticipate a gentle landing. Well, if they're percolating, you can always ask me later. But you know he's going to ask the question.
To say more about this concept.
Oh, yeah. That quote from Luke, you know, the kingdom of God is within you and among you. Especially as Unitarian Universalists, we believe in the democratic process. And we believe in reason. So it's our job that we have within us to work together to make sure the truth is known. For some people, that won't matter. I'm always sort of amazed that people go, there's people more wrapped up in their beliefs than they are in fact. Well, duh. But this is one of the first lessons I learned when I started studying history, you know, professionally. You know, one of the first courses I took was on Roosevelt, you know, the New Deal. And I remember as a kid growing up, I'm of that age, that people in my parents' generation had really strong feelings about him. He was either the devil incarnate, who destroyed American capitalism, introduced creeping socialism, and sold out to the Russians. He had 666 on his forehead. Or he was St. Franklin, who got us out of the Depression, you know, saved the country, and won the war. Well, neither one of them are true. They're both wrong. He was something very different. And it struck me then, when they vote, why people vote, it's their perception of reality. And people's perception of reality is more important to them than reality itself. They may not know reality, but they'll go with their perception and go with their feelings. And there's a lot of people in this world who just want an authority figure, a stern father, to tell them what to do and to punish those who don't do right. That won't change. But there's more of us than there are them. And that can change.
Struck me, this whole idea, I more or less, that I encountered an individual who consciously practiced, and it gave me a different of what, you know, that you actually, and it really hasn't, I still am, there is a joy in this congregation.
When we think of spiritual practices, we usually think of things that are very serious. Yeah, when I meditate, I have to be totally quiet. Or I have to do something really hard. Cannot joy be a spiritual practice? I mean, even if it's not there, you can act as if it is, and it will. You can make joy happen. Yeah. The United States adopted the Julian calendar in the mid-1700s, early to mid-1700s. It had been in Europe for several hundred years already. That's why, depending on when it was adopted, how many days you had to take out of the calendar to give them the match up. So, you know, when they did that, just a lot of people, because one of the tasks we were given when I first started graduate school is we had to go look up George Washington's birthday from several sources. And it was different depending on whether it was Gregorian or Julian calendar because he had been born before the change. So you would get some of these variations in there. But there were people, you know, in the mountains who just go, no, we're not going to do that. This is the real Christmas. We're going to celebrate it as a religious holiday. But now we got this other one. So, I mean, what the heck? One thing, most people are sort of small farmers. You know, so how much work are you doing in a pre-industrial farm in December and January? So it was a time to kind of rest up anyway. And actually this whole other great tradition comes up called breaking up Christmas. And people would go from house to house between the two Christmases. And they just show up. You take all the furniture and move them out of one room into another or out into the yard. And the musicians would play and they would have a dance. And again, it was just feasting and drinking and, you know, lots of flat footing and old time music. And they would just do this at a different house every night. And there's a terrific old time tune, if you like old time Appalachian music, called Breaking Up Christmas. You know, it's a very rollicking good dance tune. But that was just sort of, you know, what people did. So, well, what the heck, we got two Christmases, we might as well party in between them. yeah, we'll be real, we'll give a lot of gifts, you know, a lot of gifts. On the first Christmas, then at old Christmas, you know, then we'll be all somber. You know, and those gifts were very limited. I interviewed a guy when I was working on my dissertation whose father had a store at the top of the Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia. And he talked about how his they would go down to Mount Airy to the railroad station. It was a 3-day round trip. And that was the one time a year he would buy a case of oranges and bring them back, and they would get into stockings. And it's so strong that I liked oranges as a kid, but I was real clumsy. And I try to peel the orange, and usually, you know, it gets, you know, stuff in my eye and all. And I kind of hated that. It was all messy. But then there were tangerines. And tangerines, you could just peel those right off. And if you got one in your stocking, it was yours. You did not have to share it with your brother or sister. And the identity was so strong with me that there was a period, I was in my teens, and I went to the grocery store with my older sister, who was like 12 years older. And, you know, you come in the grocery store, and it's always, you go to the right, and there's a produce aisle. She's at the end of aisle turning, and she looks back. I'm just standing there. She says, "Barry, come on." I said, "But Claudette, there's tangerines." And she says, "Yeah." And I says, "But it's not Christmas." I was probably 13, 14 years old, and I just said, "It's only appeared around the 20th of December." They were there for about a week and then gone. And it was like spring. I just couldn't believe it. Those things get really ingrained in us.
Yeah. So if new...
We got to do it now.
How is old?
Well, you know, it's more of a somber religious holiday, a time of... it's Thanksgiving, but it's not as boisterous. It's like, wow, you know, God on earth has come. So we need to stop and reflect on this and be appreciative of it and just sort of meditate on it. So it's more of a quiet family holiday. All right. So. Thank you. Thank you.